So repeat what you said earlier today.
Which one?
The thing about, you know which one.
Oh. Yes, I did say earlier today that I've come to learn that in very many instances, it's probably wise to listen to what Mike says, because very often he is right.
Like, I don't... I'm confused because you basically just gave up the feat on the brother feud right there. I just won. What do I have to live for now? You just said I'm almost always right.
This is how I beat you, Mike.
The mind games?
Yes.
You know how I beat you?
Huh.
With the bottle from my...
The bottle cap?
The bottle cap from my... Water bottle. That's like a tongue twister. Anyways, I'm going to throw this at you now. Oh, I missed. That's not true. Halloween's okay, I guess.
What kind of dressed?
Well, you have on your Mass Effect hoodie, and I have my Mr. Incredible t-shirt on. But these are just clothes that we often wear. We dressed up Saturday night. We went out.
You were Pac-Man?
I just went out and bought a Pac-Man costume. It was like too expensive, but I just wanted to have a costume so I can go out. I just don't want to be that guy who didn't have a costume.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, though, I'm excited. I'm already playing it. I'm going to be Two-Face, and it's going to be awesome.
I agree.
I'm excited about this. All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. That's AJ.
Hello.
It's me, Mike, the Minotti. From now on, I am Mike the Minotti.
No, you're not.
I am the Mike the Minotti. So, got a good show. I got an early copy of Uncharted and beat it, so. That's not even out yet. Whoa.
How'd that happen?
So, you know. So, I'll be writing a story about it for Bitmob, but I got to play it, and I can tell you all about Uncharted. If you know me, it will probably not shock you that I liked it quite a bit. Clay just had his hand in it, too.
Yay.
I don't know. But anyways, besides actual things we're going to talk about versus news, I don't think there's a whole lot of news. Like, now games are just coming out, but
right.
There's some things. At least one major game was announced this week, so that'd be fun.
I'm pumping my fist.
I didn't know you were excited about Grand Theft Auto.
I was thinking of something else.
What, you think about Mech Warrior Online or whatever?
Maybe.
Okay, I say two games are announced, AJ. I say a big game's announced. What, you think I'm talking about Mech Warrior? God. All right. Yeah, we have news, then let's go topical. Then we'll talk about Uncharted, basically, for a while. And then we'll do the releases, which are actually pretty exciting now because a bunch of crap's coming out. This week alone is pretty stupid. I mean, tonight alone is pretty dumb. Tonight you're going to pick up Uncharted and Sonic, which apparently is good, which is good to know.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to some Sonic the Hedgehog. Anyway, news. Do
okay.
It.
Okay. So, yeah, Grand Theft Auto 5, they've announced that a trailer is coming, and they showed the logo.
On the 4th.
Yes.
Well, that's cool. I like how it's like that Money 5.
So we'll see what it is.
All indications are that it's going to be in San Andreas.
Yeah.
Which
wait.
Makes sense.
Oh, wait. San Andreas, not the one that's L.A.?
Like, all of San Andreas.
Oh, okay, I see.
Like all of those places that were also in San Andreas, I think.
Okay.
Like remember how 4 was kind of smaller than San Andreas?
Mm-hmm.
I assume that this one will be gigantic again.
Right.
Because people liked that. And, it'll be interesting to see what they do with it. I just... We have a long history with Grand Theft Auto, I think, where that we buy all of them.
We like the concept, but the execution usually leaves me wanting.
It is kind of like one of the few like big AAA franchises I just don't feel like I'm quite there with everybody.
Yeah. I'm just curious to see what lessons they've learned from Red Dead and L.A. Noire.
But see, the guys who made those games didn't make this game.
No, but I mean, it's still shared within the company, and I'm sure they'll be influenced.
I guess that's kind
of
the thing with me now, too, is Red Dead Redemption has kind of set the bar really high for how to do that style of open world game.
Mm-hmm.
And if Grand Theft Auto could be like that, it would be cool. But if I'm another asshole...
Like I said, my biggest problem, especially with GTA 4 and to a degree in San Andreas, is just... It seems like there's two groups of people at Rockstar making these games. The people who want to take it seriously and the people who want to make it just a big joke.
And yeah, and they design half the missions each.
Yeah, and the game always feels at odds with itself. And that's what bothers me the most about it.
Right, like, do one or the other. If I was them, I would take it. I would be more serious with it. Yeah, you have Saints
Row is the goofy one, now, right? So
I would, if I had a Grand Theft Auto, I would play it dead serious.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
I mean, I know people like these things, but get rid of the goofy radio stations.
No Brucey.
Right. Yeah. No people with silly voices who are your best friends. Just play it dead serious.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Like Red Dead Redemption had some kind of
thing. Yeah, I mean, you had Irish and things.
I mean,
you're
gonna have to have some comedic relief at some point, but like. You know, Red Dead Redemption was pretty dead serious most of the time.
Dead serious.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
But I am interested to see what they'll do, because it is Rockstar, and they have ridiculous resources.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it'll be a pretty-looking game. And I'm sure I'll end up buying this one.
I wonder if they'll be using a brand-new tech platform for this, if it's just building off of GTA 4.
GTA 4 is pretty good tech. I think they'll just build off that. What engine did, like, Red Dead run off of?
I think it's the same thing.
Yeah, I think that'll work fine.
I wonder if they'll use any of the like facial capture stuff that they used in L.A. Noir.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. But trailer on the 4th, so we'll find out more then.
Mm-hmm. So, not to be outdone by the upcoming release of the Vita, Sony is still pushing the PSP down our throats with a bundle for everybody ever.
How so, Socrates?
You get a copy of FIFA 12 and a digital download for the film Cars 2, because those go hand in hand.
Yeah. I don't know how many people like both those things.
Not many.
I love the movie Cars and
Soccer. Have you been waiting to get a PSP? Well, now's the time with this killer bundle.
Yeah, first off, you have to not have a PSP. Second off, you have to love... I mean, I guess both those... No, wait, no. Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah.
If we wanted to put like a NASCAR game in with cars, at least.
Yeah. Like or the Cars game. I don't know. Make the Cars bundle.
I think they just, I don't know. Maybe they were laughing. They're like, ha, what stupid PSP bundle can we do now?
What do now?
Who even cares? It's like dead. PSPs are going to be like Confederate money at game stores when the Vita comes out. Trying to trade those things in.
Yeah, I think you get $15 for a PSP 1000 right now.
Oh, really? Yeah. It's a PSP.
Can I get some money for this?
Yeah, but not much.
They did announce that the Vita, we already said how it's coming out on February 22nd, but on the 15th, they're doing a premiere first edition release. Where it's
so weird to me.
It's a bundle that's $349. You get the 3G version of the system. What's the game called where you're touching the back of the screen to roll balls around?
It's called a touchback roll ball.
Okay, that one.
Touchback roll ball.
You get a 4 GB of whatever the goofy memory card is that the PSP needs, and a case.
The case looks dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's
not a bad deal. I mean, when you consider that the 3G Vita costs $299 for $50, you're getting a game, the memory card, which is, they haven't announced the U.S. pricing on those yet, but when you translate the yen price, which is usually a little higher, but still, those things are expensive compared to, like, what an SD card costs.
Are all the games going to be out then, too?
I imagine they'll have to have something out. I mean, they're going to be selling the system.
Right.
I mean, maybe there'll be downloadable stuff at least you can get your hands on.
Right. Like, I don't know if I'm going to bite on this.
I know someone whose birthday is the following week you can get this for.
Yeah, whoop-dee-doo. Next.
Blizzard has announced when they released their Blizzard Dota, it's coming on a new platform that they've dubbed Blizzard Arcade. Even they're not quite solid on the details of what this is yet. If it's going to be a standalone thing or something that's built into StarCraft II that you could just get with the starter edition for free. But they've made it sound like Blizzard Dota is going to come in two flavors, where there's a free-to-play version, kind of like League of Legends, and the version you get just by buying the StarCraft II expansion that gives you more heroes and things.
Makes sense,
mm-hmm.
I guess. Cool. I mean, you got to make it free-to-play.
Right, you have to get it out there if you're going to compete, I guess, with Dota 2. I'm really I feel like this is like the next big showdown, like Blizzard Dota versus Dota 2.
It could be. The question I wonder to myself is, are new people going to get into this thing? I feel like there are people who have not been exposed to Dota.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't. We totally wrote this off.
I mean, you look at the progression of Dota. It was a mod. Now it's being made by, like, fairly small companies like that, like this is their first thing. I mean, Riot Games is actually a pretty good operation. I don't want to call them like a small little indie dev or anything, but that's all they do. But now when you have Valve and Blizzard both saying, check these out, I feel like that's going to really help bring it to the forefront.
Do you have a problem with Valve trying to own the term Dota?
Yes and no, because I forget where this point was made. But you can't really call the genre Dota. I mean, all the genres are named after like descriptions of the game, first-person shooter, real-time strategy.
See, that's not so much my problem as the fact is that Valve didn't make Dota.
No, and that's the other hairy thing. I mean, they have Ice Frog or whatever working right now.
Ice Frog did not make a Dota, though. He helped. I'm sure he was there.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, who made Dota? Like, no one person
that's my
really
point.
Owns it. Yeah.
No, but nobody made Dota. Nobody owns Dota. Dota should just be a thing.
Like, for as generic as it was in the first place, I mean, it was just Warcraft characters. They should have just said, you know what, we're going to make our own. But, I mean, there is value in the name. If they can get their hands on it, they should. I mean,
I guess.
From a business standpoint.
It feels so open. I wonder why, like, Riot Games just didn't go in and take it. I guess they had a stance they didn't want to.
Yeah, it could be.
I'm sure they're not a big fan of that. I do wonder if they're going to give Blizzard hell for calling their thing Blizzard Dota.
Right. Like, or will Blizzard have to change the name?
Right, because now you have two games called Dota by different companies.
Yeah.
But, I mean, not legally speaking, but I feel like, on principle, Blizzard has a much stronger claim to the name than Valve
does. I mean, it's kind of like the way, I mean, you know, Valve did kind of the same thing with Counter-Strike and to a degree Team Fortress as well.
It would be, this would be like if Blizzard made Counter-Strike 2.
Yeah.
And called it Counter-Strike 2.
But the thing was, though, too, I mean, Counter-Strike, it had two guys who made it very, very distinctly. Same thing with Team Fortress.
You know what?
And those people went to Valve.
I feel like these modders who did Dota bit themselves in the ass with their stupid monikers and pseudonyms. Now, like, so they can't really, it's hard to claim ownership
right.
of Dota.
I mean, everyone knew who Robin Walker was. He's like, the guy who made Team Fortress.
If on that big splash screen where it says Dota All-Stars when it's loading, it said, made by Steve Jackson, then everyone knows you made. You put Ice Frog on there or whatever.
Yeah,
what the hell is an Ice Frog?
Right.
I'm Ice Frog. Trust me. Here's my forum account.
Yeah, exactly. Quick aside.
Yes, sir.
Do you feel like the mod community isn't what it used to be, like in the late 90s?
No, it's not. It's not as fun. I think everyone just makes indie games.
Right.
Now. Like, aren't modding as a thing isn't quite. I mean, what would you mod for now?
I mean, UE3.
I mean, used to be all your mods came out on Half-Life.
You
and
could still
Warcraft
do Half-Life
3.
2 mods. And...
Eh, no one does. I'm over modding.
Yeah. Oh, well. Nintendo stuff. They're posting their first loss in like 30 years or something this year.
Big loss,
yeah. Yeah, 70 billion yen.
Well, that's what's going to happen when your system's dead.
This is what happens when you have a dying system that you publish 3 games for in a year. You botch the launch of your new handheld and also fail to get any new games out for that for months.
Right.
And you announce a new system that doesn't really impress people too well.
Well, it's not so much that it doesn't impress people. We just don't even know anything about it.
Yeah.
A whole lot. They'll have some saving grace, the holiday. Hopefully the 3DS will pick up with having Mario Kart and a Mario game on there.
Right.
But yeah, we dead. I don't know why they couldn't. That's what baffled me about the whole Project Rainfall thing. Like, you have no game.
Why not?
They're ready.
Yeah.
Then you can have a game.
Yeah. Because if they're even so worried about, like, oh, the cost of distribution, do a thing where you just sell them through Nintendo.com. You know, like, just say, listen, we're going to open up sales for this thing for these 3 weeks. After that, we're going to process those, manufacture, and ship
them. I don't get it, because I see some pretty shitty games distributed everywhere. So it can't cost that much. I mean,
right.
I'm sure it's costly, but I mean, that's what
I'm sure there's a way
to
do this, is my point.
At what
point
do we say, we're not going to even distribute this game, because maybe it won't make money? That's how it works!
Yeah.
You can't just, I mean, who just says, no, we're not going to even take the chance that maybe it might fail? Risky stuff, Nintendo. next.
Well, speaking of the Wii U, they've announced that they will show the final format of Wii U at E3 2012.
You see that flying overhead, AJ?
Huh?
It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Captain Obvious. Yeah, no kidding.
The subtext I got to this is, shit, we need to change up a few things on this.
No, they always said it wasn't the final version at the last E3.
I know that, but I'm... It's by their own admission, they're saying, you know what? We've learned a lot from the 3DS launch. We don't want to screw up again like that.
The problem with the 3DS launch was all software, though.
Yeah, but I mean, they maybe a lack of an analog.
They've
basically publicly admitted we screwed up and we're not going to do that again.
This isn't really about that. I mean, this is just them saying, yeah, the final version of the Wii U is going to be E3. Sure, it is.
I almost took a sip out of my microphone and talked into the water bottle. I got confused.
You're putting a negative spin on the story. Like, I'm all, yes, Nintendo not doing so good right now, but that's not what this is about.
Okay. Where'd I go? Also, two things of Wada revealed in an interview. First of all, they have completed 3DS games ready to go that they're deliberately holding back now for post-holiday.
Well, I assume that Icarus is done, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've been working on that forever. I don't know what else he's talking about. Maybe Luigi's Mansion's ready.
I mean, I understand, kind of want to get out of the way of the holiday, but again, there's basically two games, three if you want to count Sonic Generations, that like are worth a damn coming out for this thing until the end of the year.
Granted, they're two pretty big games. Still already better than the first anything before this launch period. I don't know. I feel like you're pretty good with Mario and Mario Kart.
Yeah,
holiday.
Probably.
I wouldn't. I mean, if you're not going to have too much morals on the horizon, you got to space these things out a little bit.
They also revealed. This cracks me up. In the last decade, they have begun and canceled three different Kirby games.
One of them apparently a full-blown 3D platformer, which I always wondered what would be like.
Yeah.
Maybe it was bad. Maybe that's why they canceled it.
I guess, but it's just, I mean, Kirby games don't strike me as that complicated. I mean, you look at the new one that just came out, Return to Dreamland. It's kind of what you figured it would be.
Well, sure. Well, what were the other two besides the 3D
one? The one was like a 2D, 2.5D side-scroller one. The third one, I think, was something similar.
I mean, it's not like we haven't been getting a lot of Kirby games anyway.
Yeah, but don't forget, Kirby's Canvas Curse, Epic Yarn.
Yeah, that's supposed to be another game.
Yeah, it wasn't a Kirby game. They just kind of turned it into one. I just think it's weird that Nintendo, in a decade, couldn't make a Kirby game and tried and failed three times at it.
Decade?
Yeah.
They made Kirby games.
We spent 11 years making and abandoning these three games.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess if you talk about, like, big console games, they had nothing GameCube that was really Kirby, except for Air Ride. Yeah, they were just doing portable stuff the whole time.
Right.
I still wonder what a 3D Kirby game would be like.
Yeah, like one that played like Mario and Galaxy.
Yeah, one
played
Mario and had, you know, copy abilities. But there'd be some fun in that.
Yeah.
You could fly a little bit.
Right.
Maybe it didn't work. All right, next.
So, remember when they said that if you bought Battlefield 3 on the PlayStation 3, you'd get a free copy of Battlefield 1943?
Yes, sir.
Well, they kind of just didn't do it. And then, when people called, we're like, "Hey, remember you said this?" Like, "Oh, well, instead, we're putting the map packs out on PS3 sooner." But they announced that a long time ago and didn't mention anything about Battlefield 1943 when they did that. I think they just decided they didn't want to give everyone a free game.
Whoops.
I mean, granted, it's a 3-year-old game that if you really wanted it that bad by now, you probably got it.
Yeah, but
how much
doesn't cost them anything to give people a code?
Right. I mean, I don't know. The only thing is people who had a choice between platforms and went for PS3 because like, oh, I may as well get a free game out of it.
You chose poorly.
That's true. Also, just in case you have enough games to play tomorrow, DC Universe Online is going to go free to play as well.
Yeah.
I think Sony doesn't want it to take off too quickly so as not to overwhelm the servers. Hey, guys.
Yeah, those servers are getting rid of two of them.
Let's release this in the same day Uncharted comes out.
Oh, God. Who cares anymore?
Okay.
Who plays DC Universe Online? Who played it for more than, like, 2 days? Anyone?
I think you could beat it in 2 days, so.
Oh, really?
Well, zing.
That's funny.
I should have said this earlier. Anyway, Nintendo also announced that they're adding some new things to the 3DS. Playable demos, a web interface for the eShop, and the ability to download stuff while the system is in sleep mode.
Oh, boy. Sounds good.
Yes.
All nice things to have, I suppose.
And the final thing, after 2 years of radio silence, we've gotten details on MechWarrior Online.
Wow.
It is full battle mech simulation.
Is it now?
Based off the play styles in MechWarrior 2 through 4, not like Mech Assault.
Yeah, okay.
It'll be first person, slow-paced, deliberate. What they're doing with it is really cool. It's a free-to-play MMO. When the day the game comes out, it's being set to the beginning of like the whole Civil War that happened in that universe. And they're telling the story from the beginning in the game, where every day of real time represents a day in the story. Like, every day they're going to move the story forward.
What happens when I get to the end of the story?
Then it'll just be unending conflict. I don't know. They didn't really say.
So it seems a little high concept.
It's cool, though. I'm really excited because I freaking love MechWarrior games. Actually, I was thinking about one of the first games I could actually remember ever playing online was BattleTech Online that you played with some weird thing on AOL.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
There's also that plane game.
Oh, Fighter Ace?
What's that thing called? Like
Microsoft
Zone?
Gaming Zone.
Game Zone.
Oh, man.
That's
Fighter
a blast
Ace
from
the
past.
Shit.
Jeez.
Then they started charging for it, and I couldn't get it because I didn't have a credit card.
Right. Wow.
Yeah,
Wow.
Nice little memory lane trip there.
Okie dokie.
All right.
So, let's go topical.
Okay.
Are you bothered by the end of BlizzCon where they aired a video? Some guy basically called. I mean, can I be colorful here if I'm quoting him?
Sure. Journalism.
He called the Alliance a bunch of faggots.
Mm-hmm.
And they played this video. They beeped it out.
But
yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious what he was saying.
It's the stupidest thing they could have done.
Like, what are they thinking? This is like of all the words to choose right now.
It's not like
this is the worst one.
It's not like this guy was some famous celebrity. He was some guy in some band who not his band played at BlizzCon. Just he was part of another band. At BlizzCon.
Well, I think he was just, like, playing with level 90 Torn Chieftain.
Yeah. It's literally... I couldn't even finish watching it because I got bored. It's, like, 5 minutes of him just cursing. And I was like, who thought, like, yes, this is how we'll end our BlizzCon coverage with this guy, this really just dumb asshole who's going to curse and use gay slurs about the Alliance. That won't upset anybody. It wasn't even entertaining to watch. Like I said, I literally couldn't even sit through it. I was bored by halfway through.
My favorite thing
it.
Was the first response of somebody from Blizzard was like, "Oh, don't take it so seriously.
Yeah,
that was a joke." Then like the Blizzard president like got very serious and was like,
"Yeah,
we're really sorry."
I mean, that was good. That I feel like that was a
that
good.
That first
move.
Guy though was like, "Oh, well, what's the big deal?"
Yeah, don't ever do that.
Lighten up, you guys.
If people are making a big deal of something online, whether it's justified or not. The worst thing you could do is don't make a big deal out of it. Don't say that.
Yeah.
It's already a big deal.
Don't, can you retroactively not do that?
Yeah, just everyone calm down. Don't worry about it.
Hey, I'm sorry. First they hid. but yeah.
Oh, like I just, it was, ugh. I sat, like I said, I couldn't even get through it. I was trying to watch it for study and I couldn't finish it.
Yeah, not their best decision.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I still don't understand why everyone hates the Alliance so much.
I don't
get it.
I've been playing Alliance characters. It's fine.
Always Alliance.
I like the Worgen.
They're all played by the same people. It's not like a better class of nerd is playing the Horde.
What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, let's not fool
ourselves.
Only
noobs play the Alliance.
I think all these beefcakes are playing Horde characters.
Like that guy.
With tribal tattoos and nose ring.
I worked with the kid at Best Buy who got fired for not showing up to work, who had the Horde logo tattooed to his chest. And he would try to show it to people when he was selling computers to them.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe Alliance players are faggots, but Horde players are assholes.
There we go.
So there. Someone's going to take that quote from me and just put it like that right out there, and I'm done.
You're finished.
Career
Look
over.
Look what you've done.
Without any sort of like, yeah.
I was misquoted.
You don't? Okay. Is IGN at fault for reviewing Pixel Junk Sidescroller on easy mode?
Yeah, well, so, I mean.
Give me some backstory here, Andrew.
So. The guy posted up his review. He gave it some low marks for the ending in particular. And somebody went to his PlayStation Trophy profile and saw that he beat it on easy mode. When you beat it on easy, you don't get the full ending. And it's clear he was just playing it on easy so he could just get through the game and get his review done. That's just so disingenuous to me. It's like, listen, it's your job to play this video game and then write about it. And, I mean, how long is Pixel Junk Sidescroller, honestly? Just play the goddamn
game.
Maybe
it was real hard. I don't know. Actually, I played it for 2 minutes at E3. But I played seemed kind of hard. kind of don't remember too well.
I just,
but yeah. Well, the problem was that the guy, somebody from Pixel Junk,
Dylan Cuthbert, the president.
Oh, that who? Yeah, he did. He got God by him.
Yeah, he did. Little Jimmy.
Yeah, but nobody knows what you're talking about when you say Little Jimmy. I started it, I guess.
I know. It's just funny.
With all the R-Truthisms.
It's almost just a reaction.
Somebody out there's enjoying it. Probably the same guy gets really excited whenever I bring up the Shockmaster. But, it's pretty self-contained. It
upsets me when people in established journalistic forums for gaming, that was very obtuse, I don't know, just don't do their job right, basically.
You can't spell ignorant without IGN.
Oh, that's funny. But no, it just upsets me because there's so many people out there who want to get into that industry.
That's
and
what
it
sucks about it. That's the biggest problem with the industry.
Yeah, it's a hard industry to get into, and I feel like there are people in it who take it for granted. Like, don't do that. I don't know. It's your job to review a video game, so play it.
Do I take it for granted, AJ?
No.
I beat my games.
You do.
Even the crappy iPhone.
You do. The fact that you sit there and play all those iPhone games. Yeah. I mean, you do it.
I do. All right, next. Skyward Sword will be the last Wii game you ever buy.
Probably.
I'm trying to think.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else potentially
coming out. Maybe they'll surprise us and release Xenoblade after
all. I probably won't get it.
Yeah, you probably won't get it because it's a... is there something? What about Dragon Quest X?
No, are you... Okay, I mean, if I were to entertain the notion of it, I'd at least wait for the Wii U version, but yeah.
That game's got to come out a year from now, right?
I guess.
Like, I consider the Wii to basically be dead now.
I do, yeah. I mean, there's nothing else. There's nothing else. You're going to get, like, Just Dance 4, and, I don't know, maybe Wii Party 2 might come out. Like, what else is there that they're even working on? They've even admitted the reason the 3DS launch lineup was weak was because they were working on Wii U software.
No, that's why it's
Or no, I'm sorry, I mixed myself up. That's basically why they said there were no Wii games this year, because they're working on Wii U. Even they're done.
Yeah, they're done. They're moving on. I hope that this means the Wii U is going to have a good launch lineup.
Maybe.
If they're working on all this crap now, but... Yeah, I'm trying to think. There must be something.
Nope.
Like, third parties gave up on it.
Oh, yeah.
If Nintendo's not doing anything... Then, yeah, I really don't know. So I guess that's it. Good run for the Wii.
The
Wii's what a strange
done.
System.
Yeah.
Which, yeah.
Well, you know, something about the brightest suns burn out the fastest or whatever.
I feel like we'll have to have a lot to say about the Wii when, like after Zelda.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it's bookended by Zelda.
Right, I was just going to say that. starts and ends the same.
Yeah, there's something to be said about the
Wii. That's weird now, though, when you think about it. If that's the case, if we're to accept that as true. I mean, like, you know, games will still be coming out, but nothing that, you know, the core gamer gives a crap about. That means for at least a year, Nintendo practically doesn't have a home console.
They pretty much don't, which
That's
is bizarre. I mean, the GameCube was still getting games before the... I mean, heck, it had Zelda.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how, despite the Wii being immensely more popular than the 360 and PS3, it does not outlive them.
Well, like I said, it was a matter of people get the Wii, they play Wii Sports, maybe they pick up Just Dance or something like that, and it's kind of it.
It's a good thing they made sure they made a profit off the console then.
Right.
All right, next. So you played... Okay, you played the Sonic Generations demo.
Uh-huh.
We're getting it tonight.
Uh-huh.
You liked the modern Sonic level better than the classic one, didn't you?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Well, here's why. I mean, I've always liked those levels from Sonic 1, Sonic Adventure 1 and 2, even in Sonic Heroes when I wasn't falling through the floor. I like those levels. Sonic Adventure 2, if you just played as Shadow and Sonic, is a pretty damn good game. But then you played a half-hour-long level as Tails in a walking robot suit. You know?
Right.
Sonic Unleashed, not terrible. Until you're walking around a hub world moving boxes and then playing a half-hour level as a werehog. Sonic Heroes, not terrible when you're not falling through the ground.
What about Sonic 2006?
Okay, that was pretty shitty.
So many things. Sonic 2006 is one of the most spectacular failures of all video game history. Mm-hmm. Like, everything was wrong with it. Well, like, there was nothing good about
Sonic 2006 tried to be kind of in the middle, I think, because... I mean, the modern Sonic levels and Generations, the ones I say I like, they're basically corridors. 2006 had you zigzagging and going all over, and there was camera management issues. And
it's a very weird game, though, because it's the Sonic game I played the least of, far and away. And it's weird to me that that game existed and had all that weird stuff in it.
Right.
And they just called it Sonic the Hedgehog, by the way.
Yeah.
That bothers me. I'm glad we just all call it 2006 now.
At least it's easy to remember when it came out.
I don't know why I thought that was so funny.
You're welcome.
It was... it wasn't that funny, but I don't know why.
I guess it just struck a nerve. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, I like both of them a lot. I mean, the classic Sonic is what I loved about Sonic as a kid. The modern Sonic is just exciting. It's a roller coaster.
Very
ride.
Fast-paced, right.
I mean, it helps.
I think they finally nailed it,
and
too.
It helps that the game, it's a gorgeous engine they have going now, finally.
Yeah, I think it's still that Hedgehog engine they just...
And a lot of my enjoyment comes from the fact that it is this kind of new twist on a classic level that I played as a kid.
Yeah, I feel like those are going to be the most fun... things, really.
Yeah, I feel like the game, like my basic excitement of the game will kind of follow this curve downward as I get to the more modern levels.
Yeah,
because they won't have the nostalgia for me.
Right.
Like when I do the Sonic Unleashed level or the Sonic 2006 level, that's gonna do nothing for me.
Yeah, won't mean
but running playing. Through Chemical Plant Zone.
Yeah,
can't wait.
Sky Sanctuary. That's gonna be
yeah,
awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel like those two levels specifically are the ones.
Like
I'm
after
for.
City Escape. Yeah, it's like okay, I'm just gonna finish this game now.
Right. Like I don't.
Oh, here's that white hedgehog whose name I don't even know.
Like it's like Heroes. I cannot differentiate any of the levels in my head.
Right. Well, then there was a first level in the demo that it was fine.
Wasn't it just Green Hill Zone?
No, I mean, they all kind of start in a Green Hill Zone-esque.
Well, that's Sonic Adventure 2, though. That's what was cool
about
it. Yeah, that's
escape. True.
All right, then.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, I like it. It's fun. It's just exciting to play. And it actually, they've just kind of finally done what they should have been doing a long time ago and just kept the parts that work and got rid of the bullshit.
It's been revealing well. First Sonic game, I think it'd be, like, above 80 on Metacritic at some time.
Yeah.
All right, this is a terrible week to release Lord of the Rings War in the North.
Oh, it's the worst week. Are you
terrible.
Kidding? Why couldn't this have come out 2 weeks ago?
Why couldn't this come out? It should come out 2 months ago.
Well, that too.
Or 2 months later.
Well, I'll tell you what. I had this happen to me. On Live did a thing where if they got like enough likes on their Facebook page, if you were an existing subscriber, you got a 98% off coupon code. And if you were new, you just got your first game for a buck, whatever right. It was. And I'm looking at the site, and I'm thinking, well, I guess I could get Deus Ex, the augmented edition, for like with my 98% coupon code, it was like $1.30. Right. And I was like, wait a minute. Lord of the Rings War in the North comes out on Tuesday. I'll get that. The hell, right?
I guess.
Well, it comes out on Tuesday, you know, like Steam and things like that. But it didn't come out on Live until today, the 31st, but the coupon expired on the 30th. I'm like, I see what you did there.
I think we gotta be careful and see some of these reviews. Well, you played it, right? At PAX?
No, I did. We waited in the line and it was too long.
I played it a couple times. And it seems like it seems like it's fun to play, but I can also see how it might all go terribly wrong.
Well, it's the same guys who did like Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance and Champions of Norrath.
It's very
right?
much like that.
Yeah.
Except it has a Lord of the Rings flavor, which is cool.
Yeah, and we haven't had one of those games in a while. You know, I want to hear that music again and get into that world again.
That was actually one of the core things at E3. I don't know if you saw it, but they set up like an orchestra just playing the music on this.
Oh, wow.
But it's weird, though, because it had a pretty big presence at E3, and they were pushing it hard. I heard nothing about this game since.
Yeah, like the last 2 months, this game went like silent, and it's like oh, it's out now.
I don't know if something's wrong. Like they're not very confident anymore.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah. I mean, they put it out at a really rough time.
Yeah, really rough time, because... not only do you have, you know, Uncharted this week and Modern Warfare, very soon you're going to have Skyrim. It's hard to compete with a fantasy
hack
RPG
and slash.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just poor timing.
Which is a shame. I mean, frankly, after the holidays settle down, this game's like $30.
It could be fun.
It could be fun to pick up, play it in co-op, you know?
But we'll never know. I mean, I'm not going to buy this game for $60 now.
No, there's no way. There's too much.
Please. All right, All Week in Gaming. So, Uncharted 3.
Woohoo!
Here's my Uncharted 3 review. And it's like two sentence long, maybe one. Yeah, one sentence long. However you felt about Uncharted 2, you will feel about this game. If you're one of those people who like can't get with it, like, oh, it's too much like a movie or whatever, which, by the way, I hate those arguments, but yeah, sure, you're going to feel the same exact way. If you're like me and you thought Uncharted 2 is the best thing ever, then you'll be quite pleased with this.
Right.
It's very, the one difference, they refined the melee combat system a bit. Try to make it almost more like Batman with that kind of lot more countering going on.
Right.
It doesn't work as well as Batman. But Batman has the best melee combat system in the world. Right. But it is cool, and there are like some extended fighting sequences.
Yeah, like, I mean, the beginning of the game is like, to put it this way, you don't fire a gun for an hour when you start playing this game, which I love.
Which is really cool.
I love that.
And, like, the enemies will scale. So, like, it's not like in Passing Charts where you can kind of go up and punch them a couple of times. It's not like Gears of War where you want to get in close to people and just melee combat them. Because if you melee combat somebody, you're going to be fighting them for a while.
Yeah, and other guys are still shooting at you.
Shoot you. Right. They don't want to do that unless you know you're kind of alone with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or like you have one of your AI buddies kind of watching your back.
Right.
But the set pieces have been amazing. And the ones we already know about were cool. The chateau, the ship, and the plane. Those are the three that they showed. And those were all great. The chateau specifically, too. That one was awesome. And you played the chateau.
Well, not to say what happens towards the end of it, but during the end, and you came in the room and watched me doing it, I literally sat on the edge of my seat, this big-ass grin on my face, and at one point just shouted out loud, holy shit.
Right.
Like, mind-blowing how cool it is.
My favorite set piece, though, wasn't one that was shown. I won't say what it was.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
More towards the end. It was really cool, though. And the other kind of difference, I guess, is just that it's a lot more Solly. The story is very much about...
Yeah, their relationship, which I love.
Which is really cool.
And I'm so glad, just to keep it vague again, Chapter 2 of the game... I don't know how that hadn't been spoiled yet,
yeah,
but it was awesome.
It was really cool.
You'll all know what I'm talking about when you play it.
That was a great chapter.
But it's—I mean, you know, the gameplay is not too greatly changed from 2.
No, it's not. You're still shooting people and climbing things a lot.
Right. I mean, that remained pretty much the same.
Which I still like. A lot of people say, "Oh, Uncharted's mechanics are good." I don't know what that means. The mechanics seem fine to me. They seem fantastic to me. But
the puzzle solving in this game, I really like it for some reason. Like, there's one puzzle you have to solve during the chateau mission where you're in a crypt.
That's what I'm talking about.
And there's, like, this device you have to figure out. And they really don't give you a ton to go off of. And you find these kind of clues throughout this room you're in. And I'm talking to myself. I'm like, oh, I need to find a cipher for this symbol. And I'm like... I actually felt like I really figured something out.
They are pretty cool. They are the best puzzles, I think.
They require some fun. They're not blatantly obvious. But one nice thing the game will do, too, is if you are sitting there for a really long time, it'll start giving you hints.
Right, exactly.
Because you're usually with a character, and they'll be like, oh, wait, hey, Nate, look what I found.
Right, and it's very organic the way
it is. Yeah, it doesn't feel like...
It's not like Batman where when you die, it'll just give you tell you what to do.
Right.
Basically. It is much more organic. You'll have a character kind of say something or help you out, which makes sense. That's what they're
right.
There
they're all there looking for clues themselves. So right. Why wouldn't they?
Fun as they'll even just ask Nate what's going on, and Nate will say like, "I think I need to do something like this." They're like, "Oh yes, right."
Mm-hmm. And then just, I mean, Naughty Dog. I don't know.
They seem to be able to do things
that no one else does.
Specifically, there is a part of the game where you're kind of going on a bunch of boats. And some of them are wooden ships, and it's raining, and it's really choppy water. So first off, you have all these really choppy waves, but the rain on like these wooden decks is one of the most graphically impressive things I have ever seen in a game. It was ridiculous.
Even beyond that, just like they understand the importance of variety in your animation.
It's interesting because they do things that other games promise but don't do, like. I remember that White Knight Chronicles, that first showing of it,
mm-hmm.
where characters walked, and when they started walking, they actually looked like they started walking, like they kind of looked back.
Yeah.
And the other thing was, when you do those melee fights, you will kind of organically pick up objects if they're near you, kind of like
that Fable 2 fight prototype video from years ago.
Right.
Yeah, like, I mean, you're doing a fight, and like if there's a bottle on the table, and you hit attack, and you're by it, Nate will just grab that bottle, crack it over the guy's head. Grab one guy to throw him, he went to a table and the table broke. I mean, that wasn't scripted, that just happened.
Right.
And then, I mean, just like you said, like, you know, if you're facing one direction, you start to hit the walk stick, the opposite direction. He won't do like some weird, awkward, immediate spin. He'll start to kind of walk backwards and slowly turn right. in the direction he wants to go. When you're moving, if you kind of start to brush up against the wall, he'll put out his hand to steady himself.
Right.
And then even just like in the cutscenes, these little moments that they get so right. Like at one point, Solly's talking. Nate goes to correct him, assuming he's not going to know what he's talking about. But Solly says it. And he kind of feels all proud of himself. And then Nate continues talking. Just kind of in the background, you see Solly and Chloe just give each other a quick little fist bump. Just little things like that.
Right.
Like,
a
very
lot of great
few
character
studios
moments.
Get that kind of stuff right.
No, nobody, very few people can get the acting this good. Like, even playing Batman again right now, which I love Batman. I feel like I'm picking on a lot because it's the game I just played.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, listening to some of the voice acting in it, it's not.
A lot of Batman's dialogue in the game could basically be boiled down to, you don't want to mess with me today, or.
Right.
Like,
more so, even
Catwoman's like
voice acting is kind of, it's okay. It's almost a bit too, I don't know how to say, but it's almost a bit too, like, she has, like, she has a rhythm
mm-hmm.
to everything
yeah,
she says, you know? Like, it sounds very much like, you know, in a recording booth and you're doing
right. I mean,
whereas Uncharted, you have a lot, there is that, but you have a lot of that mocap stuff.
I mean, too. The funny thing is, when you really think about it, like, everyone talks about how revolutionary Avatar was for what it did. Uncharted does the exact same thing.
Right, pretty much.
Filmed in the mocap studio, the same audio, the same performance. I mean, the only difference is Naughty Dog will hand animate the faces.
Yeah.
But that's it.
It was a pretty good job of it, though.
I mean, it's absolutely stunning to me how just good the whole package is there.
Another complaint I hear about the series that drives me crazy is when people say you don't play the action.
Yes, you do.
It's just a lie.
My holy shit moment in the game, I was playing.
Right, like the Burning Chateau. They purposely make sure that they incorporate gameplay elements into that every possible way they can.
Oh, and it was incredible.
And it's awesome.
That whole sequence was
right.
exhilarating.
I
was in control the entire time.
Right.
Meanwhile, you got Metal Gear Solid 4, where I sit there for 10 minutes and watch Raiden and Vamp pointlessly fight each other.
See, here's my problem. Uncharted 3 does not have, like, an enormous amount of cutscenes compared to, not just compared to, like, Metal Gear Solid 4, but, like, compared to other games like it.
Yeah.
Just other campaign
It's got just as many, like, non-interactive sequences, like Gears of War.
Maybe bit more, but, like, I think the only reason people are like, oh, it's like a movie, is because they're done so much better, and people somehow turn that into a criticism, which
I don't
understand.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. Like, I thought this was the goal. This was the ideal. This game is doing what I've wanted video games to do for 20 years.
See, I feel like an ass when I say this because I'm just, like, discounting people's opinions, but I'm like, I just don't get people who don't like it. So to me, it's like, are they just being, like, contrary? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Are they rebelling against it because it's popular? I hate to be that way because I know I'm basically an Uncharted fanboy. I just don't understand how you can't be.
Yeah.
Because to me, this is what it's all about.
Right.
This is just fantastic.
And here's the other point, too, is, I mean, Naughty Dog's not like this gigantic studio. I mean, they're fairly big. They had a lot of success with the Jak and Daxter games. They built their base. They have a lot of support from Sony. But what is it about these guys that, like, no one else is able to emulate their style?
Yeah, there's
like
other
this.
People who have these resources.
Right. More resources, I'd say. I don't understand, like, I mean.
Why
it
seems to be so far ahead.
Yeah.
I think other people are catching up now. Like, Rocksteady with Batman.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Then again, where does Rocksteady come from?
Exactly.
Like, well,
And honestly, I think a lot of it has to do with, in both cases, it's examples of studios making the games that they wanted to make, and there's less outside pressure on them, it seems.
Right. No, I agree. Although I remember, wasn't there a story not too long ago about, like, what... It was supposed to be a very different kind of thing, and Sony suggested that they ground it more in reality. I can't remember what now, but I feel like there's more fantasy element to it or something.
You mean in the first game?
Yeah, in the first
Uncharted. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, something like that. But anyways, one problem, and it's a problem that the series has always had, the villain is not very memorable. And I feel like they were really trying to promote her more. Like, oh, a real nemesis for Nate.
Mm-hmm.
And her motivation is never very clear. She really doesn't have a whole lot of screen time either, which kind of surprised me.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I feel like that's one area they've always kind of struggled is the villains are just kind of there. I mean, it's really Nate's story. But yeah, I'm surprised they haven't really come up with a really killer villain.
To be honest, Indiana Jones, like, the movie has always kind of had a similar problem.
True.
I think a lot of the villains, we know them just because they're in Indiana Jones, but they're not, you know, they ain't no Darth Vaders.
Mm-hmm. the Joker.
Who's the villain in Last Crusade? That guy. Dr. Snyder was the girl.
Dr. Snyder was the girl.
See, I mean.
Yeah, you're right.
All I know about him is that he chose poorly.
You're exactly right. So, I mean, maybe that's just a staple of the genre.
I guess it kind of is. You just always have but basically, a villain in these games/movies are just people who are trying to go find the MacGuffin before you.
Yeah.
It's just somebody to race against.
Right. And they're a catalyst.
And eventually they'll, like, take one of your friends hostage or something, and you have to get them back. Or they'll steal something from you.
Right.
And you always chase them. Exactly. More plot device. But that's what you get with the adventure genre.
Yeah.
But I didn't play any more of the multiplayer. We couldn't do co-op because you don't have your copy yet.
Yeah.
You can do that soon, though.
Yes.
I love Uncharted, man.
I mean, my only criticism of the game is I wish I could use an Xbox controller on the PlayStation.
Why?
I have a hard time doing very fine aiming with that PS3 controller. Like, if I'm trying to line up a headshot and I'm off by, like, a pixel, I can't get that thing to just move the little bit I need. I'll always overshoot it.
One thing I like – I will say this, too. I found Uncharted 3 to be much more challenging than Gears of War 3.
You think?
Yes. In a positive way. And one reason I don't mind it, and it's the same reason why I don't mind, like, sometimes you will just miss a jump or something and you'll die. I think that frustrates a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, okay, side thing. We have really rebelled against trial and error gameplay, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Not like me and you. I don't really have much big problem with it. Yeah, people are not happy when they feel unjustifiably killed.
But then you have games like Dark Souls, which are built on that.
Right. It's a weird double standard. But the thing I like about Uncharted, though, is when that happens, checkpoints are incredibly generous.
And they
load instantly.
That's the key.
That's the thing that drives me crazy about Batman, actually, is that the loading when you die is kind of long.
I mean, yeah, it's fun the first couple times to see what the villains say to taunt you. But after you've seen
them all. It's not even that, because after that it loads. That's not even like the loading thing.
I mean, I feel like if you are going to try to do something that does involve trial and error, like platforming, it's critical that the game immediately gets going again.
And it does.
I mean, that's why Super Meat Boy worked.
Right, right.
Because it was instantaneous. Right. It didn't matter. You kept playing. I think that's really what people just don't like. They don't like that downtime of having to wait. Because then it feels like punishment.
And I always, since Uncharted 1, there's always been segments that are just really difficult, and they do take me a few times to figure out, almost like the sequence.
I had like trouble a couple points like knowing where I was supposed to go, especially like the one was a chase sequence. I literally got confused as to where the game went. It turned out I had to run towards the camera, which I didn't realize. So I'm like running around like, where the fuck am I supposed to go? I didn't realize like, you know, the fourth wall wasn't actually there.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so like I died like 3 times, so I was like, oh.
I feel like I had something else to say all of a sudden.
Do you?
I did. Then you took me off my train of thought. Maybe not, though.
Oh, you know what's one new mechanic they introduced in this game that I really like? Is how you throw back grenades now.
Yeah, it's like a timing thing.
Yeah, there's like a little meter that'll pop up over the individual grenade, and you have to like stop the red thing in the white space.
Cool, because it's slightly more difficult.
Yeah, but when the better you do with that, the better chance you have of throwing it directly back at the guy who tossed it at you.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like countering in a range sense, really. Which is kind of neat when you think about it.
Yeah, it is pretty neat.
Also, I just loved it because the last time I did it, Nate, like this grenade lands by him, and Nate just goes, "It's a grenade. It's a grenade! It's a grenade! It's a grenade!"
Right.
Throws it. I was like, God, that's so fucking cool.
There's a lot of moments too where they'll be like, you can kind of stealth, and it is really hard to stealth through
it
the
is, yeah.
Like, I'll usually get through half of them, and then a gunfight will ensue.
Which
I feel like is more true to the character anyways. Like, he tries to be stealthy and messes it up halfway through.
God damn it.
Then it can just fight. But,
and, you know, I mean, everyone always, like, there's always that back and forth. Oh, Nate's so cool because he's an everyman. Well, he's not an everyman. He's doing all this stuff that nobody would do.
Well,
but the thing that makes him such a compelling character, and this is what worked for Indiana Jones, is he has just a very human reaction to this stuff.
Exactly.
You know, when he gets hurt, he lies and goes like, oh, crap, that really hurt. Okay. Like, there's one fight scene towards the beginning of the game where you're fighting in a bathroom, and this guy, like, punches you really hard, and you're just kind of leaning against the toilet. He's like, all right, hang on. Give me a second. And it won't go until you initiate the movement.
Exactly.
And it's just little things like that are just what make it so compelling. I no one else does this.
Wait till the desert sequence. Desert sequence is cool. But, yeah. I love it.
Honestly, it makes me curious to see what the Vita one's going to be like.
I know, because I wonder what they're going to have, if anything, sacrifice.
Yeah. Like, can they maintain – I know the graphical fidelity will be a little down back, but can it maintain all these little things I'm talking about that I like about Uncharted so much?
Right.
Will they be able to do that?
I don't see any reason why not.
Right.
I hope.
That's the thing, too. I mean, so much of what we're talking about that makes this game good, they're not hampered by technology. It's creativity and just honestly doing the work.
Yeah. I mean, the technology is cool, and it is a gorgeous game.
Oh, yeah.
Game. But a lot of it, like things like
Nate reacting to a grenade like that, it's just an audio file that plays.
Yeah, a lot of times you just have more animation options than most people are willing to do.
Right.
For a lot of things.
I mean, every time you go up against cover, there's got to be like 20 different postures he could randomly drop into. I mean, as opposed to Gears of War, where every time you go into cover, it looks the same.
Right.
It's such a minute thing, but it's one of those things that, you know, like you always hear people who work in things like light design or sound design, or like they'll say, like, if I'm doing my job right, you won't even know I've done it. That's what they do in this game.
Yeah.
It's just they get everything so right that you don't even notice it because it just feels right.
Should we move on now then, I guess?
You want to talk about Batman now that you beat it?
Yeah, I beat Batman. Batman was very good.
It's a great game.
Yeah, it is really great.
Phenomenal game.
It's a top fiver for sure.
Oh,
for the year.
I love it. I mean, I've beaten it. I'm still playing it.
I
finished the last Riddler challenge room, so now I just got to track down the rest
cool
of the trophies.
It is cool how much extra stuff there is to do.
Yeah, I did the one with the Watcher. Today, Halloween, make sure you talk to the calendar man.
I was kind of expecting a mission for some reason.
Yeah, he just says something pithy about the holiday, and I guess if we do this all year, we'll get an achievement.
Well, why not?
Yeah, cool. You know. But, I mean, just...
I mean,
such a great game.
It is.
Now, I mean, without spoiling anything, obviously, what was your take on the ending? I mean,
I have a strong feeling.
Were you satisfied at the end?
I was satisfied. I don't have a very strong feeling on the ending.
I'll ask you this: when the final cutscene played, was in your head, were you like, "Yeah, it's time for the ending"?
I do, and I know you didn't feel that way. I'm kind of confused.
I don't know. I just, like I said, there's one major plot hole I told you about that's still bothering me to this day, that I was still expecting some resolution for.
Yeah,
and it never
I kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, I guess. So, I mean, I think that was part of it.
I mean, they kind of throw a boss at you that you aren't expecting.
Yeah, that happened, which I thought was cool. And there's one other thing, like just there's something I feel Batman should have done at the end of the game that he didn't. I'll tell you what I think it is when we're done.
I don't know. It seemed pretty, considering what happened, the sequence of events, it seemed pretty conclusive to me.
Yeah, I will say, I think it's cool what they did with the ending. I really like the plot of it. And it was really well done, actually.
Well, it's weird. It doesn't seem entirely open for a sequel. It seems kind of.
Oh, you could do one easily.
Right. It's hard, you know, easy to justify continuing comic book stories.
Right.
They've been doing it for quite some time.
A very long time.
But yeah, don't have anything else to say about Batman. It's very good.
It's such a good game. Such a good game.
I don't think we've played anything else.
A couple iPad games I wanted to talk about real quick.
Oh, come on, I don't talk about my iPhone game.
Yeah, but these ones one's actually a game. You ever heard of Jetpack Joyride?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
It's kind of the new hotness right now. If you go to the App Store official page on Facebook and like it, you get it for free. It's kind of takes what like the format made up by Cannibalt and gives you a jetpack and a bunch of different vehicles. It's just really fun. And since you can get it for free, you should. They also made this Pirates of the Caribbean free-to-play game on iPhone and iPad. And I don't know why, but I really like it. Probably shouldn't, but you could go check it out if you want. I need people to be on my crew.
Are you done?
Yeah. I feel like there was one more thing I played. Was it like a demo? What other demo? Oh, no, I know what it is. Daytona!
Oh, God. All right, talk about the
That game set a record for the fastest I've ever gone from downloading the trial to buying the full version. I played that first race, and I was like, damn it, here's $10. Then I got out my steering wheel and hooked that thing in. I mean, I feel like I'm back at the arcade. With the steering wheel in, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. I'm having so much fun playing that game again. I can't express it. Like, some people are expressing disappointment because it's a part of the arcade version, not the Saturn version that had more courses and more vehicles. So there's not a ton of variety to the game. It's the three tracks and two cars, basically. But I mean, the online multiplayer is fantastic. That's a ton of fun to play that. Like I said, with the wheel, it controls so well. And what I've always loved about Daytona compared to like a lot of racing games you play, like I don't think I've ever placed first in that game.
Ever?
It's not easy.
Maybe just suck.
It could be. But it the game's not a gimme, you know? I know there's some rubber banding that goes on with the AI, but still, it's just a freaking blast. And I still haven't tried the karaoke mode yet. I need to do that.
All right. You done?
Yeah, I'm
did
done.
Your releases? All right. Char 3, Drake's Deception.
Yay!
Comes out tonight. So, yeah, you should get on that. So, Lord of the Rings, War of the North, like we talked about. 360, PS3, PC. GoldenEye 007 Reloaded for PS3 and 360.
I have this in my GameFly queue. I just want to check it out.
If you have a PS3 and you get this instead of Uncharted, I'm going to punch you.
Well, yeah, yeah.
I will
true.
Find you. Sonic Generations, PS3, PC, and 360.
Yay.
PC version is slightly cheaper, worth
it's
mentioning.
It's like $30 or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Something. Cabela's Survival, Shadows of Katmai. What is this? It's like Cabela made a really hardcore-looking hunting game.
It's a survival game.
PS3, Wii, 360. Interesting. What? JASFA? JASF.
It's just a bad acronym. Jane's Advanced Strike Fighters.
That's a terrible acronym. It's not a word.
That's
for PS3
weird.
And PC.
It's weird. I didn't know this was coming out to PS3. This has been traditionally a PC franchise.
Never heard of it. Dead Rising 2 Off the Record also comes out. Jeez, a lot of stuff comes out tonight.
That's the PC version.
Oh, okay. NCIS, PC, 360, Wii. PS3, whatever. Maybe Dad will like that. He's into that show now.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Fate/Extra for the PSP. Of course it's called Fate/Extra. Let's take some sort of JRPG. I might be wrong.
They'll release that, but they won't release Xenogears or Xenoblade or whatever the hell.
Crappy. Kinect game. NASCAR game looks crappy. Ooh, New Harvest Moon, The Tale of Two Towns.
I know. This is the 3DS one. I know people are looking forward
Ooh,
to it.
Ooh, I'm kind of looking forward to it now.
Really? Go for it.
I can't get it tonight, though.
Not tonight, but...
Maybe, like, my birthday. I could go for some more Harvest Moon.
Yeah, you haven't played one in a long
time.
It's
been a while.
You liked them.
I like my Harvest Moon. I like the 64 one a lot.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, it was. I had a baby. All right. I still remember the girl who was all shy and bitter, and I wooed her over, and she came to live with me on my farm. And we raised a child there and made many friends. And the little folk who would come by and leave jewels for us.
Are you crying?
No. Just telling you what happened in Harvest Moon. And you would go down to the festivals. And some would be on the beach and they'd do fireworks.
It sounds so candles. Romantic.
It was. That's kind of the weird thing. Very weird game. Man, I really do want to play more Harvest Moon. All right, I think that's it.
Okay.
Question of the week. Let us know if you will ever buy another Wii game besides Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody, to the Explain Real Podcast. Thank you for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.word.
Nope. Whoa!
Old site. ebpodcast.com. Excuse me. Caught myself. Twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Facebook.com/explodingbarrel. iTunes. Music Store. What's this new thing?
Oh, yeah. We're also now on Stitcher Radio. If you want, you can get the Stitcher app for your iPhone, iPad, Android phone.
It's a streaming thing, right?
Yeah. It's like a streaming podcast service. So we're on there now. So if you want to stream the show on the go, now you can.
Stitcher Radio. All right. All right.
Oh, thanks to Alex Conley, by the way, for suggesting that to me. I've never actually heard of this.
Yes,
quite. It's kind of a neat app.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrels Podcast. I said barrels.
Barrels?
It's fun.
It's more than one barrel. Ba-boom.
See, I mean, all I know about him is that he chose poorly.
The Exploding Barrel Podcast is now part of the Couchbound Network. Check out couchbound.net for new episodes of the Exploding Barrel Podcast, along with other podcasts featuring all kinds of geeky, nerdy stuff.